2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Toad into DFS pros.
Welcome in, everybody. Happy, merry week 16 of the NFL DFS season, whatever you want to call it, whatever holidays you celebrate. This is the flagship podcast of the DFS Army, Vegas Lions with Geek's Picks, I guess we should say. I've messed that one up already. We just started 10 seconds ago, but let's keep on rocking and rolling. Let's get right into the meat and potatoes of it. I'm a little sidetracked because we have a special guest for you this week. You know me. I'm Chopadong. I am a coach and contributor inside DFS Army. You can follow me at Chopadong out on Twitter. And you know our CEO, five-star general inside the DFS Army. That is the one, the only Kevin at FFootballGeek. You can follow him out on Twitter with that same handle. But I'm going to toss it immediately to Kevin to bring out the special announcement. Kevin, what's up this week, buddy?
Well, obviously, I'm very, very excited to announce we've added a contributor to our NFL team, and he is here today. That is Mr. Kyle Big Marley Marley. Say hello, Kyle.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? Glad to be part of the team and excited to talk some football.
Awesome. And you know, Kyle, for anybody who doesn't know, and I've known Kyle for a while. He's big. He's quite well known in the DFS MMA industry and also for NFL. He's fresh off an appearance at the DraftKings Live Championships last week in Miami. How did that go, Kyle?
Oh, man, it was awesome. I'm going to have to go back next year. Everything was first class. DraftKings treated us well. I didn't finish where I would like to, but, man, it was a great trip overall.
That sounds like an awesome experience. I saw some of your pictures, and they look really cool, and yeah, I definitely want to go to one of those live events one of these years. I've been chasing live cues for a couple seasons now, and I'm always a bridesmaid. Had a lot of second place finishes. Kind of got
you're
sick of throwing away money on
for
those.
You just got to settle for that $60,000 first prize and the other stuff.
Well, it was a quality weekend. Yeah, while Kyle was enjoying all the festivities, I was taking down $50,000 in NBA on Saturday, so that was fun. That was a fun night. But, yeah, so Kyle's a very sharp NFL analyst, and he will be on the DFS Army team, joining me and Chop and the rest of the crew, breaking down NFL this season and hopefully and beyond. So, very good stuff. Well, welcome on board.
Awesome. Hey, Kyle, why don't you throw everybody your Twitter handle real quick if you've got one?
Yeah, Big Marley 3. Big, not small, and then Marley, M-A-R-L-E-Y, with the number 3 behind it.
Sweet. Yeah, we'll pick you up at least two or three followers on that mention alone. Let's rock and roll, guys.
Awesome.
All right, let's do this.
How about we dive right in, Kevin? All right.
Week 16.
I don't know what games you guys are looking at, but week 16 kicks off with my graphic here in front of me with Indianapolis at Baltimore. We've got a 13.5-point spread in favor of the Baltimore Ravens at home and a 41.5-point total. To be quite honest with you, this game leans a lot Baltimore to me. I'm not very interested in Indianapolis. Once Indianapolis gets going, it seems like there's a lot of points given up on the other team. So I'm looking at guys like, not Flacco or anything, but I called out Ben Watson last week, who Collins is another one that pops into mind, maybe even some Mike Wallace. Kevin, why don't we toss it to you first and tell me if you agree or disagree or where you're heading this one.
Well, I mean, if you're playing this late, understand that we're talking about a game that's only involved with the two-game slate as far as I can see. I'm not even sure that the sites have made a game where this will extend into the main. So we have to take players from these games. You have to make choices if you're going to play these. In this one, you have the first thing that pops off the chart here is Baltimore defense, because obviously the Colts are terrible, they're turnover-prone, and Baltimore defense has been pretty good. As far as the Baltimore offense goes, Macklin is doubtful, so Mike Wallace becomes the default, I guess, number one wide receiver. But, you know, the passing game's less exciting for me than the Alex Collins-led rushing attack for Baltimore, and that's a lot of the way I'd look to attack this game. So I'd like Collins a lot, and certainly in the short slate, you have to even consider some of these other guys like Woodhead and Jarvorius Allen, even though I don't love them. From the other team, Colts. I mean, outside of some contrarian plays, like, sure, I want to, you know, contrarian it up with T.Y. Hilton, maybe, or a little Jack Doyle. I'm not sure I'm going to be too excited about any of these guys. What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, I'm from Indy, and I don't like anybody on the Colts in this slate. I guess if you're going to go anywhere, it's got to be Jack Doyle. Jacoby likes him. He's going to get his targets. So I think he's probably the only play, really, on the Colts. And then you had it right with Baltimore. Their defense is where you want to go. And then you probably want to stack it up with Alex Collins.
And a two-game slate, it's going to be the chalk. But actually, if you look at the other game on this two-game slate, it might not be the chalk defense, because there's another defense that's very interesting. So let's take a look at that one.
Yeah, let's rock and roll in game two, Minnesota at Green Bay. 9-point spread in favor of Green Bay. So we got both home teams favored in this little mini slate. Minnesota traveling in, what, we got a 40.5-point total. So my guess is going to be that you're going to talk about Green Bay's defense, or at least I would hope. But Minnesota's defense is pretty stout, too.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about Green Bay's defense, man. That's not what I'm about to talk about. No way. No, in case you didn't know, Aaron Rodgers is on the injured reserve. They're going to put him away for the season, not take any more chances. The Packers are basically out of the playoffs anyway, so it doesn't matter. And they're not going to risk him, which means we get a little Brett Hundley action. Which means that the Vikings defense is also in play because Brett Hundley is hashtag not that good. So that's really the way I was going with this. This is an interesting slate. I think, again, if I'm, I might do a separate sort of discussion of just this two gamer, because it's really hard to talk about it in the context of the entire slate of games that we have going on, because realistically, I don't want a whole lot from this. You know, a 40-point total, disgusting. But, I mean, if I got to play the two game, obviously the Vikings pass catchers are back in the mix. You got to mix it. You got to look at Lats Murray whenever the Vikings are heavy favorites. So that's kind of the way I'm looking. You know, some Thielen, some Lats Murray, either Vikings defense potentially. They're 9-point favorites. So, I mean, that's a lot of points. I don't know. What do you think?
Do I have this wrong? I have Green Bay as the 9-point favorite.
You know, I see that on something or another here, but I'm sure that's an error. I'm looking at a completely different source for lines than you are, and I see also Green Bay 9-point favorite, but it's just flipped. It's supposed to be the Vikings.
That can't be right, yep. Can it? Kyle, does that catch you by surprise too?
Yeah, it's the Vikings. They're the 9-point favorites. Now that A-Rod's on IR, they got Hundley back out there. So, yeah, I do like the Vikings defense a lot in this game as well. However, I would prefer the Ravens of the two just because I like less Colts. I would rather go with maybe a Cobb than I would any Colt. So I would stack it up with the Vikings here on offense. And, I mean, you could really run their defense, their quarterback, their wide receivers. You can just go full-on Vikings here. I like them a lot.
Isn't it? If you're looking at this as a two-game slate, I mean, it's a brutal choice to pick a quarterback here. Because I'm like, I don't want Flacco. He always sucks. Even though he's in a good matchup, but he just always sucks.
I think Case Keenum's the clear number one. He'll be the chalk, but I think he'll be good chalk.
Yeah, Keenum's got to be the chalk. But my thought is he going to really need to throw that much? I mean, I guess he's got a better chance of needing to throw than Flacco will.
Yeah, and I think he's just... he's playing better than Flacco. I think Flacco is more likely to throw a pick or two, and Keenum just has more weapons, so that's why I like him.
I'm down with that. I like, yeah, Keenum's definitely got those weapons. And, you know, Thielen, Diggs, whatevs, both good. Thielen's obviously the stud. Diggs is a little less studly this season. And then, although you could have used a little more Thielen in your championship matchup last week. Oops, sorry. Too soon? Was that too soon? Sorry. I was totally following it.
Way to indoctrinate the new guy right away.
Yeah, it's a little too soon. Sorry. All right, and that's it for that. Let's move on to the main slate. Let's get to the juicy games.
Let's do it.
Just some better games. Now, I can't promise that we're going to head right out of the gate here with a good one, but let's start, if my graphic is correct, with Detroit at Cincinnati. Looks like Detroit's carrying the 5-point favorite spread here on a 43-point total game. Once again, this game doesn't, on my little graphic inside the wishbones for people that read that, it isn't green, and I focus on the green because I'm the chalk eater, so I'm pretty much off of this game. I'll just throw it to you guys. Kyle, why don't you lead this one off?
I definitely am against Cincinnati now, especially after last week. They look terrible, so I don't think I'm going to get anybody from Cincinnati. If I do, it would be Mixon if he's back from his concussion. However, I would prefer to stay away from him as well. So I think you can load up on the Lions. I like their defense a lot. And Marvin Jones, Tate, you can go Stafford as well. So, yeah, I'm all over the Lions here, and I'm fading Cincinnati pretty hard.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree too much there. The only consider it, and obviously MJJ for sure. Stafford, I don't know. I like Stafford in games that are competitive. I don't think that he puts up enough to warrant me wanting to start him if I didn't think the game was going to be competitive. So the only way I'm really playing like a Stafford is if I'm actually stacking him up with someone like Green, where I'm thinking, all right, this is actually not this shitty-ass low-scoring game, and rather somehow the Bengals are at home. Everybody saw last week's debacle, and they're like, I don't want to touch this team. And I get that, but I could actually DraftKings reduced the price quite heartily on AJ Green here, and he is somebody that I'm going to actually be interested in at home, just because of the contrarianism of it, just because of the frequency bias, recency bias of last week's debacle. There's just a few reasons that are making me kind of like Green, and then maybe the comeback with Stafford, MJJ, and Green, or some sort of combination that says, all right, I only want this in a GPP if it's going to be a high-scoring game, and that's the scenario that will play out. But for the most part, these are not cash plays. Probably none of them for me.
Yeah, I would like Green as a GPP play as well, just because of his lower price. However, he is going to get Slay, so it is a tough matchup.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
But if Stafford's going to do well, somebody on the other side is going to have to, and he's definitely the best bet. However, Ebron on the other side, he could be a sneaky, cheap tight end. He had 7 targets the last game, 11 targets the game before that. So Stafford's looking at him more, and he even got a touchdown last game. So he might have a good game, points per dollar.
I like that.
So he caught at least one. He caught at least one of those 18 targets those last two games?
Yeah, at least one.
He actually went 10 for 11. No, I mean, you know what? A matter of fact, good notice, because this dude was 10 for 11 2 weeks ago. Five receptions, 7 targets last week. He's been involved, putting up, and for 3,700, he's getting you know, last couple weeks, 15-plus points. And before that, you know, kind of showing a floor around 8 to 12 points. So I like that. I like that play. I like that notice.
That's why he's a nice GPP pick, because a chalk eater like me has seen enough this year of that dude dropping balls.
That's cool. So that's cool.
He may be catching them lately, but
that's your cognitive bias at work right there.
Week 16, it ain't getting fixed now. All right, let's move on. LA Chargers go east to visit the New York Jets. And Kyle, in case you don't know, Kevin's a Jets fan. The Chargers are the 7-point favorite in this one, though, and we got a 42.5 point total on this one. What, Kevin, what are your Jets going to do in this one, if anything?
They aren't going to do anything good. So, I mean, it's going to be Bryce Petty at the helm. And whilst he was fine last week, if you like getting 10 points out of your quarterback spot and a sub 50% completion rate and 2 interceptions, and, you know, he's terrible. This is not an NFL caliber player. And the Chargers defense is good. The only thing that concerns me about this game, and it doesn't concern me that much, is that, you know, you have the Chargers kind of crossing country here. And, you know, that's not always good for whatever. But outside of the whole traveling early West Coast game, you know, sort of gambler no-no component of it. Man, this doesn't look good for the Jets. Chargers defense, Keenan Allen. The Jets have no one who could stop anybody defensively. So Keenan Allen. And remember, and this is very important to note, people were saying the Jets were playing well this season, right? There was this idea out there that the Jets were playing well. But understand what was going on. The Jets are a team that exists to fuck over their fan base, right? And in the 1 year where the best thing that they could possibly do was lose games and get a freaking quarterback in the draft, what do they go and do? They win five games. Drop themselves to about the 9th to 12th pick. That's classic same old Jets. Exactly where you'll get nothing, probably a safety or a tight end in the draft, because that's the Jets. But at this point, they've already fucked over their fans enough with winning a few games that they can kind of give up and just, all right, we've done our thing. We've screwed over our fans once again. Now we can collapse. So I believe that the Jets will now exhale. They did their same old Jets thing. They fucked over all their fans. They don't have a good draft pick. We're not going to get a quarterback. So now they're willing to collapse. Therefore, Chargers defense and the Chargers offense, no Jets. They don't need to
win. Kyle, you didn't hit your Indianapolis Colts that hard.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, I'm not on the Jets either. It's kind of hard to be now with Bryce Petty at quarterback, so I don't like anyone on the Jets this week. However, on the other side of the ball, I think my favorite play is Antonio Gates now that Hunter Henry is out. It's late in the season, so Gates might start getting involved a little bit. And he's the stone minimum price at $2,500, so I like that a lot. I think he's probably the best play on the slate, points per dollar. He will definitely be in some of my lineups. Other than that, I like Melvin Gordon a lot because his backups hurt with that broken hand, so I don't see him playing. And if he does, he's not going to be involved in the catching game. So that'll be more targets to Melvin Gordon. I don't mind that stacked up with the Chargers defense as well.
You know, it's not
music
good when
to my ears.
It's not good when you're the pass catching back for the team and you have a big fucking cast on your hand. That's not going to work.
Although you do bring up a good point with the Chargers coming west coast to east, and it is a 1 p.m. game, so that's technically 10 a.m. their time. That's pretty early to be playing some football, so maybe it's a good game to avoid. Stay away from the Chargers.
I do want to jump to the Antonio Gates thing, right? $2,500 on DraftKings. The stone-cold minimum salary. Do they have anybody else that's running routes for them? Or is it just Gates? I mean, are they bringing out Jeff Cumberland? What is the story with these guys? Like, does anybody else even have a chance? Or is it going to be – okay, here we go. Committee at
tight
end. They got
to get Sean McGrath.
Like, is he too old?
At that point,
Sean
he gets value if he just steps off the plane.
Wait,
yeah, I mean, really, all he's got to do is catch one touchdown, one target, one reception, one touchdown. He's paying off value, really. So I think he can do it, and I think he's cash viable too. Just give me 3x that salary, and we're good
to go. He's got to be cash viable.
I mean, the only word of caution that I have with Gates is he's fucking old.
But he might only have a few games left. I mean, in his career, so now's the best time to blow up if he is ever going to do it, right?
I think it's one of the last games that he's going to play ever, so they might as well, you know, feature him. It's not like you got to keep him healthy for next season. So, yeah, I mean, at $2,500, and they might just feature him in sort of a farewell. And the Jets are the great team to exploit with a tight end. So, yeah, that might be the case. We'll see. But it could be a trap, but it might be the case.
Two random questions before we move on to the next game. Number one, who's the more tortured fan base, the Jets or the Cleveland Browns?
The Browns, got to be the Browns.
The Browns is worse than the Jets, yeah.
All right, so at least we've settled. You're not at the bottom. You're just kind of close to it.
Jets fans feel sorry for Browns fans. We're like, oh, man, it sucks to be a Browns fan, dude.
That's painful.
Awesome. Yeah.
Now, the second question, and then we'll move on. Kyle, there's music to my ears when you said you're stacking Melvin Gordon with the L.A. Chargers because those are my key features in my fantasy football championship season long week this week. Can the Chargers win me my championship?
I don't see why they couldn't.
That bad.
Yeah, man, I could see them definitely getting double-digit points in this game for you. So, and then Melvin could blow up. He could maybe be the best running back on the slate. So I like those two combined a lot.
What's Kevin, are you looking at DVP on the Jets for their against the run? They've been pretty solid most of the year.
It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. When a team loses their quarterback, here's what happens. When a team loses their quarterback, they were playing efficient football. I'm not talking about the irrelevant of the Jets, you know, my same old Jets argument. No. No, this is a different situation. When a team loses their quarterback, they had efficiency with McCown. So the defense was able to play like a normal defense. They had some rest in between and the whole thing. What we're looking at in a game like this is Petty is not an efficient quarterback. Again, he's a sub 50%. He's a third stringer. He's a guy that's going to be overwhelmed. Now, I will give him this. He's been in the league for a few years. It's not like he's complete, you know, like that dude from Buffalo throwing five interceptions in the first quarter. He's not that. He's not that bad. But he's a third string quarterback, and he's never going to be more than a third string quarterback in the NFL. So what ends up happening is it doesn't really matter because like how if you have a very solid defense against the run, and the Jets have been okay against the run this year, but when you're so inefficient like I expect them to be, so this is where pairing up Chargers defense goes with the running back. Like in essence, if the Chargers defense is just dominating, which we expect or we think they might, then chances are Melvin Gordon's going to have a good game too, because that means they're keeping the Jets off the field a little bit more, turning it over in good positions, and with no Austin Eckler to steal the passing down work, or at least Austin Eckler out there with the fucking cast on so they can't throw to him. Melvin Gordon's magic has always been volume and passing game work. So I do like the play, and I have no problem with it. Whatever Jets DVP is irrelevant.
Good. That was a good explanation of that, because I think a lot of people see that DVP and go, oh, I don't know about Gordon. So the fact that you guys both like him and you just explained why is very, very good. How about we move on to the next game?
Yeah.
We got L.A. Rams going into the middle of the country into Nashville, Tennessee to visit the Titans. Got a 6.5-point spread in favor of those offensively freaking revitalized Rams. Bitter St. Louis fan here. And what we got, a 48.5-point total. So apparently it's going to be some points scored in this game. Now, I am interested in your same old Rams. You know, I don't know about Jared Goff personally, but I do like me some Todd Gurley. I like the defense a little bit. And I think that the two wide receivers, I want to say that Robert Woods has got enough time to reacclimate. And I definitely like me some Cooper Kupp in that red zone. So whose turn is it? Is Kyle's turn to throw this
one?
Yeah,
watch Kyle start us off on this one. Give us your take.
I think the best player, especially last week, he's going to get a lot of ownership because of what he did last week. So I think you might be right with Robert Woods. He could be the way to go. I think he's back from injury. He's the clear number one receiver on this team. He got a touchdown last week on 7 targets, 6 receptions. Puts up great stats every week. So I like Robert Woods quite a bit here. I haven't really been playing golf at all this year, so I think I missed the boat, and I'm just going to have to stay off of him at this point. So Gurley is my only other play I like, and that's maybe cash viable because he's always got a low floor. So I'm staying away from the other running backs just because you never know what they're going to do. So I'd rather avoid it. And if there's a receiver on the other team that I like, Rishard Matthews would be my pick at 5,100.
That's amazing. Rishard Matthews just keeps putting up numbers, you know, week in and week out. Everybody writes him off, and he just has another good game.
Always low-owned, yep.
Always low-owned. Always being talked about like, now Corey Davis is taking over, this one and that one. And all Rishard Matthews does is put up, you know, 20-plus points week in, you know, every other week. It's really interesting. I'm not one to target offenses against the Rams. They're good at football. And they're good at defense, and they're good at, when you look at their DVP chart, they're good at everything. So, you know, it's not a situation where I want to get crazy on anybody going against them. And I agree with you, Kyle. I think obviously Gurley is coming off a massive, crazy, awesome week, and you know he's going to be super high owned, and understandably so. And I get that. I don't like anything to do with the. I don't think I've rostered a Tennessee running back in 2 seasons. Like, this goes back to last year. I just don't touch these guys. So
yeah, smart.
Yeah, I don't touch them. I mean, Murray looks like he's hurt on every single play, and then he comes back out. And then Henry comes out in garbage time and always breaks the touchdown whenever they're winning. It's crazy. But, I mean, that's too volatile for my my take. But I agree with you also on Woods. Robert Woods came back, and he was featured again, and Cooper Kupp went back to being a guy who gets 4 or 5 targets. And, you know, Sammy Watkins went back to being the forgotten man. And that's kind of how it went last week. And so I'm pretty much on board with what you said there.
Sweet. Let's move to Cleveland at Chicago. This, guys, this might be the game of the week, so you know. Cleveland at Chicago. We've got what? Do we even care that Chicago's a 6.5-point favorite and the total's a 38.5? What I care about, it's not the lowest one on the total. Indianapolis has the lowest implied total. But Cleveland's right down there with a 15.5. How the hell are they going to get two touchdowns? Kevin, shoot.
I mean, maybe they'll throw it to Josh Gordon. I actually think this game may be sneakily higher scoring than what this says. Is Chicago's defense really that good? I mean, not really. They're okay.
One good game.
You know, they can have a good game, but they're okay. But this is a division. You know, if you want to find a sneaky – the reaction you just had, and of course in cash games, yeah, avoid. Nothing going on here except for Jordan Howard.
That's my jam.
Yeah, except for Jordan. And I'm not a Jordan Howard rosterer. So for me, it's a nothing burger. I don't like running backs that don't get passes thrown their way. But I am going to say this. Josh Gordon – coming off a down week, I get it. Now he's in this game where they're projected for this terribly low score. I get that. But what if it's that week where Josh Gordon finally does Josh Gordon things? You know, you don't want to miss that boat. So I definitely am going to have some Gordon exposure. Let's see where he's priced. Because I just want to see if he's reasonably salaried this week. Yes,
6,300.
I will take that. Fuck, it's Josh Gordon. It's the same as the DeAndre Hopkins play from last week. Sure, it's a terrible matchup. Sure, on paper it looks bad, but it's fucking DeAndre Hopkins. You could roster him every single week. Gordon got 10 targets last week. Yeah, he didn't do much, but he still got 10 targets. That was against Baltimore and a quality defense that you really didn't think they were going to have much of a shot against. Now, he's been inefficient. He's obviously still rusty, but you would imagine that he's getting better every single week, just knocking the rust off. Why not use Josh Gordon this week? Hell yeah, I'm going to use him. As a matter of fact, I don't even think he's unsafe for cash with this averaging 8-10 targets a week. I mean,
whoa.
I'm not saying I'm going to do that, but I'm not saying I'm not. I'm not saying I'm not. What do you think, Kyle? Am I crazy?
I've been using him in cash, so I'm definitely invested already. I can't go away from him now. So I don't know if I'm going to have him this week in cash, but I will have some of him. If I'm making 10 lineups, I'm probably going to have at least 20%. So I'll be over the field maybe at 20%. Other than that, I don't really like any receivers from this game unless you're going to take a shot at Corey Coleman. I don't think I will be. However, that's just my only other option at receiver. I do like the Jordan Howard and the Bears defense. I like the Bears defense quite a bit. Cleveland's easy to pick on. However, my sneaky play here is Tariq Cohen stacked with the Bears defense. If he's running back a kick, you're going to get 6 points for each of those. And then he's averaging 10 points a game. He's only priced at 3,700. He's really flashy. He could pull off a long one. So I think I'm going to have a few lineups with Cohen and the Bears defense.
I think that's the first reference to double dip we've had on the pod this season.
I'm not a double
there
dipper.
There we go.
I'm not a double dipper. Both I'm on, not either. In DFS and in real life when it involves a chip and a dip. Never double dip.
See, I didn't know if you're going there. If you're going to some obscure Baskin Robbins reference, I didn't know where the hell you were going with that.
No, I'm very aware of double dipping, and it bothers me. You know, I was out with some friends the other day, all right, and you guys have all been there. Okay, we're out, right? We're watching the game. We got a bunch of wings at the table. We're ordering the kind of shit that our wives don't allow us to eat when they're with us. So we've got wings. I got mozzarella sticks going. We got it all. And I'm all excited. I'm like, fuck, I haven't had a mozzarella stick in a long time. And all of a sudden, my buddy takes a bite of one. Boom. Takes the bite side, puts it back in the mozzarella sauce.
Mm.
Okay? Swirls it around.
That's a foul.
I'm like, oh. And now you don't even want to say anything because you're like, you know, it's embarrassing. You got all your buddies there. They're all not caring. I don't want to embarrass them. I'm like, fuck. I can't even eat a mozzarella stick without my sauce. So my whole experience was really just – it went downhill from there. It was horrible.
That's good. That's good. Well, yeah. I'll stay away from those kind of
double
dips.
Do not double dip.
This week I am double dipping with some Cohen and Bears D.
This Kyle guy's all right.
I did not go into this expecting to share that story. I'm just telling you now.
You didn't have that
written
down?
Some of this stuff gets ad-libbed as we go.
All right. Let's move on past this Chicago double dip and debacle. Ooh, say that five times fast, double dip debacle.
There we go.
And let's move to Tampa Bay at Carolina. We've got ourselves a little division game here. This is the funny part that I noticed coming up. Both these New Orleans, Atlanta play each other. Carolina, Tampa Bay plays each other. It has some serious implications on it. Carolina has a 10-point favorite, you know, spread in their favor at home and a 46.5-point total on the game. We all know the Tampa Bay secondary and Tampa Bay defense is a little bit lax. Is this a Cam Newton week? Whose turn is it, Kevin or Kyle?
I'm gonna have Kyle start this one off, but I'm rubbing my hands together. But Kyle, what do you think?
Yeah, it's absolutely a Cam Newton week. You just plug him in cash. I don't see how I don't use him in cash, and I'm gonna be over the field in tournaments as well. I think Newton is the best quarterback on the slate this week. I will be heavy on him. However, I don't know exactly what I'm gonna pair him with. I might actually just go ahead and go with Christian McCaffrey because he's getting more touches, and he has not had less than four targets in a game this year. So he is basically a receiver coming out of the backfield, which I love. So maybe Cam Newton, McCaffrey stack is the way I'm going to go. And then if you're going to bring it back, maybe it's Mike Evans because DeSean Jackson's banged up. O.J. Howard's out for the year. Brate was banged up last week as well, so I think Mike Evans will be the clear bring it back play. And then even Chris Godwin might get some play as well if DeSean Jackson doesn't play.
I couldn't agree more. I think Tampa is the team where quarterbacks go to set their new ceilings. Okay, they're giving up the most points to the quarterback position or some of the most in the league. They're in the bottom half. They're giving up a ton of points to basically every position. So you have to really like – there's a second quarterback I like a lot. But in this case, this is your box checker, Chop. I mean, he's at home.
Hell yeah.
He's got the worst defense. He's Cam, so he has a safe floor with his running. There's just very little not to like about Cam Newton here. Obviously, the concern is – and I will tell you who I pair him up with. But the concern – you know, McCaffrey's okay. I have a little I've had concerns about his ceiling, although he did sort of test it last week, so it's nice to see him coming off of that. But I'm going back to the well with Greg Olsen.
I knew you were going there.
I mean,
that was such a good call last week. I knew you were going to. This is a double dip.
First of all, I got to also do the old self pat on the back move, because if you are a DFS Army VIP member and you are someone who checks the Sunday morning notes that I put out every single Sunday morning as I've contemplated and spent the weekend researching and, you know, getting into the mindset of these games, so to speak. You know, on Sunday morning, I came in and I was like, you know, if you look at Olsen, everybody's off him. I haven't heard a mention of him all week, but he's coming off. He had the injury game, okay. Then he had a little setback. He played a full game against Minnesota, didn't do much, but he was out there the whole game. No setbacks, and I said, for 4,000 in a week with no tight ends, get some Greg Olsen exposure, because everybody else was like, we're talking about Ricky Seals-Jones and all these shitty-ass players, you know, trying to punt the tight end position. I'm like, this is Greg Olsen. Get him in those lineups. And it, I mean, my goodness. Thank goodness I put him in my cash lineup, because I had some D.D. Westbrook chalk explosion in my face. So it was Greg Olsen that saved the day. Yeah, that was sweet. I'm going back to the Greg Olsen bandwagon this week. I think he's a great play at 5,000. Might be the best tight end play on the board.
Yeah, I like that play as well, although he will be chalky because of last week as well.
Absolutely.
So yeah. I think for me personally, I missed the boat on that one. I might have to miss it again, but since I like Newton so much, man, that might be the cash play, just a Newton Olsen stacked, because it is pretty cheap.
If you're going to play Newton, I mean, I think you have to get some Olsen in there. Or at least, maybe not.
The best way to go about it. I'd use them in cash, and then I could fade them in tournaments and still get my exposure.
There we go. Although I think Gates might be super GPP.
Why not both in a GPP? For me, just because I missed the boat, and Olsen will be popular. So if I'm going to get an exposure, I'd rather just have it where most of my games are in cash. And that way, if he does go off, at least I do have him. And if he does blow up, everyone else will have him as well. However, my GPP lineups will just pass all those people who had Olsen.
I like it.
Sounds fair to me. How about that defense? That defense in play against those Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
For me, I think the Bucs have actually been picking up their game defensively. And so I'm less excited. I'm less excited about the prospect of rolling out Panthers defense here. And it, again, it's nothing, you know, it's no bad on them. It's just I think that the Panthers or James Winston just looked good last week. Like, he's been looking better every single week. And so I'd rather kind of attack this as more of a mutual high-scoring game where, like Kyle said before, I kind of think I'd rather kind of go the way of putting in Mike Evans and kind of game stacking it. And even I don't know about Peyton Barber, though. I've been thinking about him. And I'm not sure that I can feel confident rostering him on the road as an underdog. I'm sorry, guys. I just can't.
Yeah, I don't want to touch a Bucks running back. However, I do like Panthers defense and GPPs. If you're going to avoid the Cam Newton route, Panthers defense have scored double digits in 5 of the last 8 games. So they have a pretty high ceiling and a high floor. So decent defense. However, I don't like pairing them with Cam Newton. And like I said, I will be heavy on Cam. So I only like it as a GPP play.
Now, one little cool feature, as you mentioned that, one cool feature about the Domination Station Optimizer is you're able to not just set up stacks, but you're able to set up negative stacks. So you can tell the Domination Station, if you're using Cam, pair him up with exactly 0 of Panthers defense. So, you know, if you're generating lineups using our lineup generating tool, this is we have the power to do these things, which is pretty cool.
Very nice.
Yeah, I've been saying for weeks it's the most customizable tool out there. So, in my opinion, that still stands. Let's. Got anything else to say on Carolina Tampa Bay, or can we move on?
No, let's do this. Move on.
Moving on. Now, this game's slightly more attractive than that Chicago-Cleveland game. Atlanta at New Orleans. We got this is the one that I was mentioning before with this, because this game's very, very important to Atlanta. Atlanta's a game back in that division from what I looked at this morning.
Both teams.
If they can force a loss on New Orleans, then they draw tied with New Orleans for second in the division. Now, Carolina should handle Tampa Bay, but if Carolina doesn't take care of business down there in Tampa, then all of a sudden we might have ourselves a little three-way tie. So I think what you're going to see here in a 53-point over-under game with a close-ish spread of 5.5 favoring the home team New Orleans Saints, I think what you're going to wind up seeing is Atlanta's best effort. I mean, it is do or die for these guys, and this is the best shot they have to keep control in their own hands. So are we pretty much going to get the geek rap here, the whole stack it up, stack it in stuff?
I'm not going to go
off this one.
I'm not off this game at all, but I think it requires analysis, and a couple things we need to first understand, right, is number one, what's the deal with Coleman? Because as I said last week, all in on Freeman whenever Coleman is hurt. So that worked out really nicely last week. And right now we don't know the situation with Tevin Coleman. Is he going to play? Is he not? They have another backup guy, Ward, but he's not the same level of touch threat. You know, he's going to play. If Coleman's out, that other guy that they have will play. But he's not the same threat of touches. So I think is Julio at this point ever cash playable? I mean, the guy is so fucking volatile. And he's so inconsistent that even in a wonderful matchup like this, and, you know, it's as good as it gets. It was as good as it got last week, and he didn't get you much. So he's, to me, Julio Jones is not really a cash viable play at all.
I've been very vocal about that all year long. The dude just has a tendency to disappear in good spots. It's not his fault. They're not necessarily throwing the ball to him. He's got a lot of receptions this year, but he's only got one huge game, and that pisses me off.
Yeah, you guys, it's going to be hard to find a bigger Julio Jones fan than myself.
I have
a minimum of 30% Julio every week. It doesn't matter who he's against. I have a minimum of 30% GPP exposure to Julio. However, I do not play him in cash. It's very rare that I will play him in cash. Luckily, I did have him in his big week, and that was a good week. However, this will be no different. I will have at least 30% this week. I like them a lot. It's in a dome, so I will probably be even heavier than 30%. Maybe I'll even go up to 50% here, but it's still not cash game viable for me.
I mean,
my favorite play on the other side is Kamara. He got injured last time these guys played, so they haven't seen a lot of the things that they're planning on doing with him in that game. So I like pairing him up on the other side. So Kamara and Julio are my favorite two plays from this game. And you're right, if Coleman doesn't play, Freeman is just too cheap not to play at his $6,500 salary.
He's no different to me than the stud top, you know, with no Coleman there, he's on the level. But I of the stud, you know, 8,000 plus guys. But I do want to mention something about Kamara, because I forgot this, and I agree with you. Atlanta is specifically known for their inability to stop pass-catching running backs. It's an issue for them going back years. We saw it in the Super Bowl with when the Patriots featured White. But this was a thing from before that. We knew that was coming. When they play the first game, I'm like, dude, heavy Kamara. And, you know, after everybody started bitching, why'd you tell me to play Kamara? Why'd you tell me to play Kamara? Unfortunately, I'm not able to predict concussions. But what I will say is he got hurt on the first drive. He had 5.7 points on the first drive. Like, imagine if he played for a few more drives. Like, this guy is the guy you want to own this week, I think, over Ingram. And potentially, because for some reason I'm not seeing Le'Veon Bell on this main slate, because once again they put him in some sort of prime time
right.
and removed him right. from enjoyability. Why do they screw us? Yeah. This only He's once in the last 5 weeks. All I want to do is play Le'Veon Bell, and they don't let me. Just let me play Le'Veon Bell every single week. You know how you love Julio Jones and will never have less than 30%? That's how I feel about Le'Veon Bell, except they keep putting him on the primetime slates, so I'm competing with 90% ownership, and basically I don't get to enjoy the fruits of my Le'Veon obsession.
So, ladies and gentlemen, while you're at your computer and your keyboard, email DraftKings and FanDuel support and tell them to expand those slates, because I don't know what people they're surveying that prefer shorter slates. We want bigger slates.
Go I know which people. Oh, I know exactly who they surveyed.
That freaking.
Their accountants.
Never mind.
Their accountants. And they were like, sure. Dude, you can't just run one slate. You've got to run three or four. We got to turn this money.
No, run them all. Run them all. But give me a bigger one with some big juicy tournaments on it, too, instead of all these little bitty things.
They got to turn the money. You know what everybody does as soon as the main slate ends?
I know.
Oh, fuck, I wanted some more action, man. Let's get in these prime times.
I get it.
Same here.
But it's costing us big-time players week in and week out. Good games, primetime games.
Well, that's annoying. So, yeah, right. I mean, I'd have Le'Veon Bell loaded up. Last week, I'm like, start your lineup with Le'Veon Bell. I don't understand why you didn't do that. Why anybody wouldn't do that. But as far as this game goes, I mean, it's the highest projected total on the slate. Of course, you got to get involved with it. You know, everybody's in play. Sanu is in play.
Yep.
Michael Thomas is in play. There must be other wide receivers on the Saints. We don't even know who they are. Brandon Coleman. I think Ginn was hurt last week. We got to see what the health status is on that team. But everybody's in play. Everybody.
Yeah, and Thomas almost had 3 touchdowns last week. So maybe they're going to go back to him to try and make up for that. So he's in play as well. Stack up on this game. Load it up.
53-point total. I mean, the next closest one is 47. It's so much higher of a total than every other game. And you know what's funny about this game? No one's, like, talking about these. No one wants Matt Ryan. No one's talking about Drew Brees. So I find that comical. And I'm sure I'm going to have a hard time. I probably won't click on them either. But it's just funny how that will go down. You know, Brees and Matt Ryan will be super low-owned just because everybody's just sick of those two.
Well, yeah. Matt Ryan's not having a good year. He hasn't even been a QB10 all year, and Drew Brees is in a run-first offense these days with 2 studs. So, I mean, I can see why people aren't doing it. I think it's pretty contrarian play to go ahead and do it and think this game will really air it out. But, God, how can you not think Devonta Freeman, Kamara, and a little bit of Ingram won't all be major features in this game if it blows up to 50 points?
Brees has had 3 games over 20 points this year.
Who'd have thought that?
Yeah, you know, I like Brees more than Ryan just because he doesn't throw to his running backs as well. And I have a bias against Ryan because he doesn't throw to Julio 20 times every game. It just pisses me off. So I would rather use Brees here because you could stack him up with Kamara, and you could get the touchdowns with both of those receiving. He could get two receiving touchdowns in this game. Too. So yeah,
that is the plus.
Julio, of course.
That is the plus for Breeze. At least he's throwing to Kamara. You know, because his wide receiver crew, he doesn't have much. I mean, in fairness to Drew Brees, he's always done it with nothing. But this year, he really has nothing. Outside of Michael Thomas, he's got a bunch of ne'er-do-wells. And he doesn't even have a freaking tight
There's
end.
That's the word.
Yeah, that's right. I like to bust out with ridiculous words. And now, Ted Ginn, the super jag, is hurt. So, I mean, who's replacing him? And for some reason,
Brandon Coleman.
Yeah, Brandon Coleman.
Fumbled
right.
twice last week.
Fucking Brandon Coleman. I had him. He was one of my sleepers. If he wasn't dropping the ball every 2 seconds, he might have done okay.
What are you gonna do? You threw me off with ne'er do well. Oh, I know what I was going to say. All right. Gun to your head. Both of you. Gun to both of your heads. I got one in the right and one in the left. Does Drew Brees hit the 300-yard bonus on DK this week?
No.
Yeah.
I'm saying no.
Kyle yeah, I think it's going to yes. be a shootout.
There we go.
So I got a no and a yes?
Yeah.
There Perfect.
Thank you so much for clearing that up for me, guys. You guys are awesome.
This is why it's fantasy right. football, man. You never know.
Opinions are like assholes, right? Everybody's got one. Moving on, Denver at Washington. This is another sort of West Coast headed East. Let's do the 41-point total. Let's not even talk about this game. Washington's favored by 3.5. I'm not going to talk about it. You guys talk about it. Kevin, I think it's your turn to lead off.
Yes. So Denver sucks. We know this. I'm pretty sure that – I mean, they suck. I'm pretty sure that Brock Lobster is going to be the quarterback for this game. Now, don't let last week's little offensive explosion fool you. Brock Osweiler is complete terrible. And I don't know what the hell happened last week. I don't. But he sucks. All right, he had – I mean, it was a miracle last week. That's all you could say. I mean, two touch – I don't know what the hell went on. But I don't see that happening again here. This is on the road at Washington. There's very little I like about this game. It's all contrarian. Jameson Crowder, I play him all the time. I think that he's underpriced. The DraftKings, you know, they obliged – one of the nice things about DraftKings is they shift the price based on the matchup. And DraftKings kind of saw the Denver defense and said, hey, we got to drop the price for Crowder, which makes me interested in him. As a price, as a value play at 5,000 on DraftKings, you know, I want to like Samaje Perine just because he's the only running back they have. It's kind of hard to like him. It's not a great matchup, but we've seen teams destroy the Broncos just when they kind of have broken. So I don't know. I don't have a great feel for wanting to play a lot of players from this game, but I'm not scared of the Denver defense on the road, if that makes any sense. What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, I don't really like this game at all. I think Paxton Lynch might get the start here. They were splitting reps in practice, so if he's healthy, he's going to get the start. But I don't really think it matters. I don't want any Broncos, no matter who's starting here. So that kind of puts Washington defense in play for me. However, I think my favorite play in this game would be Vernon Davis. Maybe stack him up with Cousins if you want to be contrarian. But we know the Broncos are good on the outside, so I think Vernon will get some extra targets in the middle. And he hasn't blown up recently, so he's going to be pretty under-owned. So maybe this is his week to go off. Other than that, I really don't like much here. You already mentioned Crowder. He's definitely playable. I don't think I will. I'll be staying away from Perine. I'd just rather not play him and avoid any bust that he may have. So I think my only real play is maybe Vernon Davis and Washington defense.
I'm down with that. Yeah, I'm totally
All right. So let's not waste time and mince words here. Let's move to Miami at Kansas City. We're going out to Arrowhead with a 10-point home favorite, and I think we all know where we're going with this one. There's 44-point total, but Kareem Hunt seems to be back. They stripped those play calling duties from Andy Reid, and let's not make a mistake about it. Ownership or somebody else above Andy's head did that. He didn't voluntarily give that crap away. So as long as Kareem Hunt and Travis Kelce are featured in this game, I'm live and rocking and rolling. And I even think the defense is in play here. So Kyle, I think it's your turn to fire away. Agree, disagree, go in a different direction. What you doing?
I definitely agree. Kareem Hunt and the defense are definitely in play. However, I have not got Kareem Hunt right at all this year. So I think I just have to stay away from him for the rest of the year. I'm going to ignore him. Therefore, he will probably go off, and you should probably play him. but my favorite play would be Kelce. However, he is pretty expensive at 6,900. I think he can always go off for two or three touchdowns, so he is definitely my favorite play. I also like Tyreek Hill. However, his home road splits are pretty crazy. He goes off on the road for some reason. However, I think that will also keep his ownership down a little bit, and it could be a sneaky play who's getting like 11 targets every game. So he has some of the highest upside of anybody on the slate every week. And the home road splits, I think, will keep his ownership down a bit. Tyreek Hill and Kelce are my plays.
I mean, I'd add in just in general, Jarvis Landry puts up 15-plus points every single week like a consistent machine, a consistency machine. So I don't mind him either on the other side. Obviously,
true.
Kenyon Drake, the Drizzy, has now gotten his salary all the way up to stud levels. Like, you're basically sitting here making a decision. Do I want to play Melvin Gordon, Leonard Fournette, or Kenyon Drake, which is not the normal expectation going into the season that I thought we'd be making those kind of decisions between, you know, Fournette and Kenyon Drake. But here we are, week 16, and Kenyon Drake is now considered a super stud. I don't know that I could play him on the road in a negative game script scenario for this kind of money. Although I will thank you, Kenyon, for the last 2 weeks of good times.
I went all in
on you. I had so much exposure to you, and you did me right. So I really appreciate Kenyon Drake. You know, Kyle, you keep talking about I haven't been on board the whole time. I ain't jumping on now. I'm totally in with that. Like, I get that whole mindset, and I feel the same way a lot of times. Like, shit, I missed the boat. I'm not jumping in. You know, I'm not getting on late. But for Drake, I'm on the boat, but I'm kind of jumping off here.
He's definitely playable. However, he's 7,100 now, and he is up there with those other star running backs. But he's putting up mid-20s every game, it seems like. He had 11 targets last week. He's definitely in play. However, I would rather, if I'm paying up at running back, I'd rather go somewhere else. I don't really like playing running backs who are 11-point dogs with a 16.5-point team total. So I'm pretty much off of all Miami here unless you want to play safe and go with Landry and Cash. But I probably won't have much Dolphins at all.
Yeah, and I agree. I'm of the mind that kind of good, historical good teams like Kansas City, who historically have had a good defense, but kind of not so great this year so far, I think a team like that comes around and starts to play better, especially the last couple weeks of the season. You know, they've been playing better the last few weeks, so I think, you know, sometimes it takes a whole season for them to get their shit together, and they've actually not played bad the last few weeks. And plus, Miami's got Jay Cutler. They're a team that can sort of give up at any time, so I'm not certainly rolling out any of their players in my cash games or any place where I'm trying to have safety. And because a lack of upside exists here, I'm probably not rolling them out in my tournaments either.
Who likes narratives? I mean, we all like narratives, right?
Depends on the narrative, yeah. I guess.
Well, there you go. I'm gonna squash that Kareem Hunt jinx you just put on him, and I'm going to make sure he doesn't have a good game because I like the guy so much this week, it's ridiculous. And when I like a guy, he doesn't go off, so just so you know.
Well, perfect.
The whole reason behind this, there was a little hush-hush, whisper-whisper coming out of Kansas City this week that Andy Reid is actually an evil genius, and the reason that he was not using Kareem Hunt in the middle of the season was because the dude's a rookie and they were trying to keep him fresh for a late postseason run, take a little bit of workload off of his shoulders, feature Kelce for a little while, and then come back to finish off the schedule and hopefully grab a playoff run in the division title. If that's the case, if there's any truth to that, I think it's all just conjecture, but if there's any truth to it at all, we're in for a big, big week out of Kareem Hunt back-to-back weeks. So be that as it may, if you like
the
kind of coach,
need to win here? I mean, what is their playoff status? Do they need to win this game? What do you know?
That I don't know, honestly, because I've got such a polluted DFS mind anymore that I couldn't even tell you. I mean, I had to actually go to look at the standings, physically look at the standings this morning just to get the whole NFC South spiel I threw at you with the Carolina and the two games back that Atlanta is and game of their life and all that kind of crap that I just threw at everybody that I actually believe in. I believe in that crap. Well, but I don't follow it because of DFS. I don't follow it stuff anymore. So I don't know if the Chargers are still in the picture or not.
The Chargers are in the picture. I will let you know.
Okay, so are we fighting for a bye week maybe amongst the other AFC teams or what? I don't know.
No.
So
no.
Maybe it's just a division title thing and there's no bye week involved, and so maybe they don't need Hunt like I'm saying they do. But I did like that narrative when I heard it, or I liked that little coach speak when I heard it.
Here's the deal.
Yeah, he definitely sets up well for this week.
Yeah, and I think he sets up very well. And they got to roll him out there. Listen, they haven't been so great this year. And they can still miss the playoffs. So they are not locked in to the playoffs. The Chiefs being 8-6 and the Chargers 7-7, Chargers likely going to win against the Jets this week. So the Chiefs need to keep up. They need to win this game. It is, in essence, a must-win because none of these teams are really in a lockdown wild card spot. So the Chiefs should be going all in here. They have what to play for. Next week is the week where we're really going to focus on who's got what to play for and whatnot. But even this week, the Chiefs need this win. They can't afford to fall a game behind or to fall into a tie with the Chargers because, again, that division is one of the weakest divisions in the league, and therefore they absolutely need a win. So they will play and put out their best guys.
And Marcus Peters showed up last week. That much I do know. He actually shut somebody down. Let's move on. Let's go to Buffalo and New England. This one's in Boston at Gillette Stadium, 12.5 points favoring the home team New England Patriots with Buffalo coming to town, 47-point total on the game, which I don't know. Is that 47 going to be viable? Is that even going to be necessary in this one? Whose turn? Is it Kyle's turn? Yeah, I think it's Kyle's turn. We haven't heard from you for a while.
Well, Brady is always in play here. He's definitely a safe cash game play every week. We got Burkhead, who's going to be out, which will bring Mike Gillisley back in for a revenge game if you want to get sneaky and play him at 3,900. However, I don't think I want to do that. I would rather go with James White, who I think will get more involved in the pass game. I think he'll be pretty low-owned as well. So I think he's a sneaky play out of the backfield. We haven't seen him in a while. This could be his week. And then if Chris Hogan's out, I think that'll open up Cooks a lot more. So he would be my favorite receiver in this game. Kelvin Benjamin, I really don't like Kelvin Benjamin too much, but this is a decent spot, and he's only 4,200, so I think he might actually be in play. Other than that, I don't like any other receivers. And then at tight end, Gronk will probably be one of the highest, if not the highest owned guys on the board. However, he's 7,400, and everybody knows about the Buffalo narrative with him coming from there, and he always blows up in Buffalo. However, this is not in Buffalo. This is in New England, and his last two games against the Bills in New England, he has not even combined for 8 points. So I think I'm going to stay away from Gronk here and avoid that ownership, but my favorite play would just be like a naked Brady.
Naked Brady.
Actually, you know, I've heard the Gillisley discussion, and I've kind of heard people say, yeah, you know, Gillisley this, Gillisley that. We don't know what the Patriots are going to do with Gillisley. There's a very, very... There's just as good of a chance that Gillisley gets no carries, no touches in this game, as that they'll feature him. You just don't know what the Patriots are going to do. So with the running back position, they're not going to give you a hint. They're not going to tell the beat writers, hey, yeah, we're going to give Gillisley about 15. No, they ain't going to tell you a damn thing. So to play a Gillisley is like a crazy high-risk guessing game. GPP only, nothing I'm going to be doing. I don't mind Deion Lewis. In this game, because we know Deion Lewis is going to get his. My concern with Deion Lewis is they jacked up his price massively as if he's going to get, like on DraftKings. On FanDuel, very playable. DraftKings, at 6,000, probably too expensive, too rich for my blood. And in a slaughter game, which is what this probably would be, yeah, there's not a whole lot I like about the Buffalo offense here. I was thinking, what's his name? Is McCoy playable? Probably not. It's not a good spot when you're that big of an underdog. I'm not going to touch Kelvin Benjamin. They just don't throw to him, and Tyrod Taylor just doesn't throw it enough at all for my taste. I'm not a Tyrod Taylor user either, so he's not a quarterback that I'm going to roster. And my issue with Tom Brady is my only concern with him is he hasn't been putting up the big numbers this year. He hasn't needed to in a lot of these games. So to me, actually, for the price, for the salary level, I think he has enough potential to dud. The only thing that's interesting about Brady is, I mean, they did drop his salary down. Actually, I'm looking at it now. They dropped his salary down massively to fair levels. So I'm going to change that and say, you know what? I'm perfectly fine with Brady here because I had an issue with him when his salary was jacked up, you know, 1,000 above every other quarterback, and he hadn't been producing really those kind of numbers to justify it. Now they have him down where, you know, sure, Brady's one of the options alongside with Newton and just underneath my favorite quarterback play on the slate, which I will hold off on mentioning until we get to him.
Yeah, and if Gillislee isn't going to get any touches like we think could happen, then Brady's more likely to throw when they get closer or even run in a quarterback sneak at the one. So
you could do it.
I think naked Brady in cash is actually a pretty smart idea.
Doable. But I have a guy that I like better. He's coming up.
For such a team that always features such a high implied total, naked Brady is usually the only way I ever go either because I can't trust those receivers. I can't trust those running backs. I never know where they're going to wind up going. Gronk's always too damned expensive, you know, for cash compared to what I can get down cheaper. So for me, naked Brady is just a staple in my cash games when he's not $1,000 higher than everybody else. So I agree
100%. And I just want to say one last thing.
I didn't mention Shady at all. Like you said, I don't really like the come from behind, the running backs when they're down by 10 points. So I think he's only a GPP play. I think he will be kind of popular, though. I just don't like how many targets he's getting. He hadn't had more than 5 in the past 6 weeks or so. So I think I'm just going to avoid Shady here, let the other people hopefully get him wrong. He could still get his, but if he does, then I'll just have to let him burn me.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, what other receiver do they have for garbage time other than Shady? That's the issue. And I know he's a running back, but hell, he's a receiver half the time.
You would think, but
team,
he's really not getting as many targets as you would think or as you would hope anyways.
He hasn't been doing it. I mean, am I really going to click on LeSean McCoy when Alvin Kamara is right there so close and he's in the ultimate amazing matchup? There's no way that my finger is going to click McCoy when this is available. It's just not going to happen because every time I think, oh, I really want to get some McCoy exposure, I'm going to see Gordon a couple hundred less. I'm going to see Kamara a couple hundred more. I'm going to see Kareem Hunt right there in the mix. And I'll be like, I ain't taking this motherfucker. His team is set to score 14 points. Yeah, he could get them both, but I mean, that's not...
That's why there's a very low probability, but you can't say it's unfeasible that he wins the Millie Maker for somebody this week.
Of course it's feasible. This is NFL football. Anything can happen. Last week, the Jaguars scored 40 points via the pass, and both of their starting wide receivers didn't surpass 4 fantasy points. Where the hell did that happen? Did you predict that? Like, some guy came out of nowhere, Mickens, caught 2 touchdowns? Oh, some other guy was the slot guy? Like, really? I played D.D. Westbrook the first time all year? This is what you do to me? That's football. You know, guys come out of nowhere. But I don't think it helps if we sit here and try to figure out what miracle, crazy, wacko play is going to happen. You got to kind of figure out. You know, the most likely scenario is Alvin Kamara is going to beast against an Atlanta defense that can't stop pass-catching running backs. And LeSean McCoy at Buffalo, 14-point underdog, is probably, you know, there was that game at the Chargers. I'm playing no fucking McCoy with Nathan Peterman at the helm, and they're probably going to get destroyed. And, of course, McCoy comes out in garbage time, runs, you know, breaks 2 touchdowns, puts up 30, 45 points in a losing effort when they were down by 20. But, I mean, it happened. You're like, wow, you know, shit happened. Oops. But, you know, I still wasn't going to play him.
I'll describe it a slightly different way. We usually say large field GPP only, and here's what I mean by that in this case with Shady McCoy, and then we can move on. I'm not playing him in anything less than, say, 10,000 to 20,000 people in it. If I'm playing in a GPP smaller than those, I'm not touching Shady. Payoff isn't there, in my opinion. So,
I hear it.
Anywho.
I hear that.
Let's Golly, what do we got? Jacksonville going west out to San Francisco next. Jacksonville's 4.5-point road favorite, 42.5-point total on this game. I mean, there's names in this one, but compared to everything else on the slate, I don't think I'm going to be paying any attention to it. Or any of you guys? I mean, there is one. There is one in Jacksonville. There's a receiver. It isn't D.D. Westbrook. It's the other dude. Somebody find his name for me, because that dude's kind of come out of nowhere.
Bird?
Keelan Cole.
Wasn't there another guy? I mean, there's like Keelan Cole.
Bird was somewhere.
And Mickens, I believe it is.
Mickens, yeah. Really? Thank you, Mickens.
Nah, I think this is where you want to go back to D.D. He burned everyone last week, so he will come at a much lower ownership this week. And I don't think Keelan Cole will be putting up those numbers again. So I think I will be going back to D.D. However, they did jack his price up to $6,100. So that's quite expensive. However, speed wide receivers have been killing San Francisco all year long. So no. I like him a lot, and I'll have him in cash and GPPs.
I'm going to tell you how I approach these situations with D.D. Westbrook, because I totally agree with you, right? He killed you last week. He murdered people. No one wants to go near this guy. I don't even want to see his name, because it reminds me of what could have been. But one of the nice things about playing on FanDuel and DraftKings is I get to bargain hunt between the two sites. And yes, DraftKings, in their mean way, decided to jack up his salary even after the dud of the century that he put up last week. Luckily, FanDuel is not as cruel, and they have him priced as one of the cheapest wide receivers across the board at $5,900. And $5,900 at DraftKings is about equivalent to about a $7,100 or $7,200 on FanDuel. So, what did I just say? The opposite. A $5,900 on DraftKings on FanDuel is like a $4,500 on DraftKings. Whatever. He's cheaper on FanDuel. I can't figure this shit out. But the point is, if I'm playing him, I'm playing him on FanDuel, not DraftKings, because I ain't paying no premium money when I can buy him at a discount, man. That's like, all right, I'm going to give you an example. There's two supermarkets by my house. One of them is just cheaper than the other one. The same shit, but one's a little cheaper. The other one prides itself on being a little fancier. You know, it's got like the self-checkout and all sorts of fancy shit. But the food is the same. And the one always has sales. I go to the discount one. I go to the expensive. Why? Because it'd be fancy. I'm not playing D.D. Westbrook on the fancy supermarket site. I'm playing him at the C-Town over on Main, where he's half the price. That way I can get my DD exposure without having to pay an arm and a leg.
The 1985 Piggly Wiggly.
I'm over at the C-Town, man. I'll go right into that, right on my way. You pick it up on the way to the Bronx Zoo.
There you go. What else are we adding for this game? We didn't mention Carlos Hyde or Leonard Fournette, and we certainly didn't talk any Blake Bortles, who's actually been competent the last month or so. Are you guys even interested in any of those names?
By the way, I think we don't know the status of Fournette, so I don't know how to answer that question right now. But if he was healthy and going to get a full workload, hell yeah, you'd want him at San Francisco. I've been all over Marquise Goodwin for the last 2 weeks. Love that dude. Love Jimmy Garoppolo, or as I like to call him, Tom Brady Light. He's Tom Brady's protege.
Go ahead. But go ahead, do it. Tell me you're playing him this week.
I'm not playing him. No, and I'm not going to sing the Marquise song. No, he's not getting a song, and he is not being played this week. Plus, I'm embarrassed in front of Kyle to sing that ridiculous song.
I think that ship sailed. I think Kyle's a veteran now.
I think Fournette is playing. I think I see here that the Jaguars did confirm he will play on Sunday. So I like him at $7,500. I think he could run all over the San Fran defense.
But by the way, do you think we can count on him to get any sort of a full workload in this situation? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the other issue.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I definitely wouldn't use it in cash, but he'll be lower on for that reason. So I think he would be a decent GPP play.
Okay, I'm down with that.
And then on the other end, Garoppolo's obviously the GOAT, so he's definitely usable. And in at 5,200, he will be very low owned because Jalen Ramsey could be on him, and that's just never really good. However, Hopkins did score last week. I don't think Goodwin's as good as Hopkins, but if you want somebody who could blow up at low ownership, maybe you could make a play there. I don't think I will be one of them. My favorite play is just DD.
I'm down with that. Yeah, I could see. I mean, I could see the potential for Blake Bortles having another good game, but I mean, then you start to think about it, like, really, Blake Bortles is going to have two good games in a row? Seems unlikely.
Yeah, I'll probably stay off him.
Yeah, seems unlikely.
I didn't bring my jingle bells with me to the microphone, but we've only got four presents left to unwrap, and they all happen to land on Christmas Day. What do you think about that? I think we got what starting up. Well, I mean,
wait a minute. What the hell is going on with this slate? I've seen all kinds of crazy. Wait a minute.
There's not four games on Christmas.
That site you're looking at is just totally off. Just don't even ignore it.
Its dates must be off then. See, here we go. See, this is why you guys get paid the big bucks. I'm just here to set the games up and let you guys talk.
By the way, it would be awesome if they had four games on Christmas Day. That would be like Thanksgiving all over again.
Like, no, I thought that's what we were getting. They have it marked as 12:25.
I totally see that. I see what's marked, but it's not. That's not the case. No.
Is it three afternoon games? We've got four afternoon games on Sunday, 4:05, 4:25, 4:25, 4:30, all on Sunday?
There's two games on Christmas Day.
Okay, there is. So there's an early at 4:30 and then a late at 8:30?
Which, by the way, is awesome, and I love that there's a second game. That's fantastic. I mean, this is a three-day fantasy football extravaganza.
Wow. Hats off to wherever the hell site I pulled this crap from. Somebody needs to look them up and report them to the internet police because that was ridiculous. So let's just talk a little bit more about Sunday afternoon. Let's get into a little bit closer to when Santa launches his sleigh. How about that? New York Giants at Arizona. Arizona's a 4-point favorite, and this game has a massive total of 40, so I'm sure you guys are all over this one. You'll find something to talk about, I know, but I'm off of it.
Who's even starting for Arizona? I think they're going back to Drew
Stanton.
I mean, do you have the balls to pay up for Larry Fitzgerald with Drew Stanton at the helm?
Man, I can make this real easy. I like nothing from this game at all. If I had to play somebody, like gun to head, you have to pick one person from this game. I think I would go with a stone minimum Gresham if he's back. Everyone might be on Ricky Seals-Jones Jr. again.
No thanks.
But this is Stanton, and he hadn't been playing with Ricky Seals-Jones. I think he would be more likely to throw to Gresham, and especially in the end zone. So if he can land on a touchdown, then he pays off value. So that would be my only play. However, I want nothing to do with this game on either side.
Who's the WR2 out of that game for Arizona? It's not Fitzgerald. Who's the two?
Could be Jerron Brown.
Jerron Brown? Yeah.
There's your sneaky GPP play.
Yeah.
And it's dumb as shit. But the reason why I mention it is because when the backup QB comes, who hasn't been running with the ones all year long, he makes Jordan Matthews famous in Philadelphia and signs him to a big contract. They favor the twos because they've got some chemistry. They know their breaks. They know where they go. And again, do I think this has got some kind of two touchdown upside? No. It's a cheap player that might get you 8 points. I mean, that's not going to win you a GPP. So that's why I say it's kind of your dumb pick of the week.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm on board with that at all. I agree with you, Kyle, in the sense that this game just is a total pass for me, for DFS purposes. I don't think there's anybody that you need to have exposure to here. I don't think there's anybody I'm interested in. Even the defense, I'm not sure. Like, Arizona defense? Nah. Not really. But the next game is interesting, so...
Yeah, let's just jump into that one.
There's one of those, yeah.
Seattle at Dallas. Seattle at Dallas, 5 point for Dallas, 5 point favorite, 47-point total. This one is the can I get Kevin to sing Reunited and it feels so good?
No, that's not happening.
That's not your jam?
No, definitely.
You're not going to give me a little bit of that?
No,
because Zeke is back off of suspension apparently, and that makes Dak viable again. Dak's priced down a little bit. I'm not going to maybe run them both in cash, but I do like how one plays off the other and makes Dak a viable quarterback again.
I have a take on this game. that, yeah, I mean, Zeke is back, but there's a couple of... My first thought when I looked at this game was, Zeke is back. Yes, load him up. That's my dude, right? Then I started thinking, you know, he's been off for 6 weeks. And he's been in Mexico. He's doing the whole Riviera Maya thing. You know, he says he's been running around the resort, keeping in shape. You know, he's been running to the, you know, the different palapas in between, you know, chilling by the pool. So I get it. He's supposedly in shape. But, you know, I've been to Mexico, and, like, there's a lot of eating that goes on down there. It's all you can eat. There's, like, constant food in your face. You're having drinks. You're chilling out. I don't know that it's so conducive to staying in incredible shape. But more so, and in all seriousness, the guy's been off for 6 weeks. Are they going to bring him back in week one, give him the 30 touches that he gets normally gets in order to sort of achieve his massive numbers? I don't know. And the other thing is, this Rod Smith guy has emerged as he's pretty good, and he's the third down back, and I think he's going to keep the role. So I think he's shown enough that he's going to stay active. I don't think, you know, Alfred Morris is going to be out there doing a whole lot, but I think that the Rod Smith guys. So I'm going to call Zeke Elliott a bit of a trap this week. And again, I'm just going to continue to favor Kamara, Gurley, some of these other names, Gordon, Hunt. We've already discovered that Dez Bryant is just not good anymore, and he's not worth ever rostering. So we all know this already. That's not mind-breaking. But the guy I love in this game the most out of anyone is Russell Wilson. My top quarterback play of this slate, coming off a bad game, coming off a dud. Feel bad rostering him again because he gave me 12 points last week. But Russell Wilson's in a great spot. Dallas defense, not good. Offense, potentially can score, keep it competitive. Wilson's going to be running all over the place. I have a hard time. I'm looking at him, I'm looking at Newton, and I'm like, which one do we play for cash? Which one? Well, Kyle, which one should I play for cash, man?
I'm all in on Newton, but I also like where you're going with this. I think Wilson burned a lot of people last week, so he'll come at low ownership. And he is, I mean, aside from last week, he's super safe. He's going to get a lot of rushing points. So he's got a real low floor. I don't hate that play at all in cash. However, I just think I'm going to go with Newton. If Newton was for some reason out, then there we go. I'm going with Wilson. But I will have some GPP lineups with Wilson. However, my problem is, who do I stack him with? I don't really know. Do you just go easy and go with Baldwin, or do you go with someone more like Richardson and then bring it back with a Zeke or a Dez? I think I'm with you, though. I think I would rather fade Zeke this week. Not because he's been away, but just because he's going to be one of the more owned running backs on the board. And I think I would rather go to a lower stack as with a Dak and Dez rather than with Zeke. So I think you can get Dak and Dez at a combined 10% ownership when Zeke is going to be maybe 25% owned. So I like the Wilson play as my favorite play on this game, but I also like Dak a lot too. So I'll have both of these guys, but the receivers are really where I'm struggling. I don't know what to do there.
You know when the last time Dez Bryant surpassed 20 DraftKings points was?
It has been a while. However, he's pretty safe with a 16, 17.
He does.
I'll take that.
He does get you the 16. But you know when the last time he got you over 20 was?
January 15th of 2017.
Maybe. Maybe.
Yep, that is actually the perfect date.
Is it? So, I mean, I don't know what the hell happened to Dez or why he can't seem to get 100 yards in a game. They throw to him a lot. It's weird. I mean, there was a game where he had 14 targets, 63 yards, 8 receptions, only 60 yards. Like, how does that even happen? That you got so few
Tony
yards.
Romo retired.
I mean, he used to be good, and now he's
but
just not good.
They don't have the back shoulder corner of the end zone push off bullshit working anymore. Where he doesn't even have to look at him, just throw it to his back shoulder, and he knows Dez will turn, push that cornerback down to the dirt, and turn around, and grab the ball. That's why you're missing 6 points every week because of it.
Does it mean that maybe Dak Prescott's not that good of a thrower? He's a nice all-around quarterback, obviously. He wins games. He's a nice all-around quarterback. I like him. But maybe he's not that good of a thrower.
If you're going to call Garoppolo Tom Brady light, I'm going to call Dak Joe Flacco light.
Joe Flacco light. Okay.
How about that for a hot take?
I don't feel like he's anything like Joe Flacco at all.
Game
I don't
manager.
See this even the slightest. I don't know what you're saying.
He's a game manager.
I feel like
he can win you a Super Bowl, but he's got to get hot to do it.
I feel like I could find, like, maybe he's Cam Newton light. You went with Joe Flacco.
No. It's Alex Smith light. He's in the same
okay.
vein as
right.
those
maybe
guys.
Alex
he runs
Smith,
a little bit.
Maybe Alex Smith, here's, period. Not light, just here's, Alex Smith.
Here's my question. Since Zeke went out 6 weeks, Dak got over 20 points one time. Does he return back to 20 points this week?
I think the problem, by the way, with Dak here is his left tackle, Tyron Smith, I believe. He is out again this week, and apparently that dude is really, really good. Because whenever he's been out, I think more so than the Zeke being out, that's been part of the problem for them. When that offensive line sort of lost their anchor, he kind of fell apart a little bit. So I don't like Dak here. I'll pay up for Russell Wilson and the safety that he provides at $7,000 on DraftKings rather than trying to save money with Dak and, you know, getting the dud that he's probably going to produce.
I'm with you 100%, but I'll bet you Dak puts up 20.
I mean, I could see it.
I'd probably take the under, but like I said, I mean, I'll take some shots in GPPs, but GPP only.
Oh, absolutely GPP only. I agree 100%. All right. Since we've just crushed every Dallas player known to mankind, let's move to Philadelphia.
All right, so this is the Pittsburgh. Monday night. Monday
games.
New slate starting up. Yeah.
All right. Then let's talk about all four as a unit. I'll set them up for you. You bust the slate down. We got Pittsburgh at Houston. Pittsburgh's the 9.5-point favorite. We got a 44-point total on that game. Then we come back with the late game, Oakland at Philadelphia. Philly is a 9-point favorite, so we've got two big spreads and a 47.5-point total on that game. You've got offenses that you're obviously going to like in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. How are you guys playing that one, and who are you focusing on?
Go ahead, Kevin.
I can't even find the slate on DraftKings, by the way. It's crazy. It doesn't exist on DraftKings right now. They have not released the salaries. So, unfortunately, I can only speak from let me see if FanDuel has it. Hang on, because that's wacky. As of this moment, DraftKings literally does not have that slate and neither does FanDuel. What the hell? What is it? What the hell's going on?
All right, well, so thanks everybody for tuning in to Week 16. That concludes this podcast.
Apparently these games don't exist. All right, just intrinsically, right? This is a game of we're going to go conceptually because we don't know salaries. Steelers.
DFSArmy.com for this one and only shot at the slate.
There we go.
We'll have it.
Pittsburgh at Houston. Houston gives up massive points to quarterbacks, but Antonio Brown is out. So who's going to get all the run? Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell. I want Bell. I want DeAndre Hopkins. Maybe a little bit of exposure to Lamar Miller. And maybe Juju Smith-Schuster. Who do we like?
So they have a Sunday through Monday slate.
Oh, is that how you get it?
On DraftKings and then just filter out those games.
Oh.
You can get their prices that way.
Oh, so they're not – okay. If they don't have it – let's see. Sunday through Monday. Oh, there it is. Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if they'll have the same salaries on that Monday only slate.
No,
but
here
this
it
will
is.
Give you at least an idea.
Yeah, at least we could look at it and get a sense of this game. Because, yeah, I was like, what the hell? I'm looking at the FanDuel one. I see the Sunday-Monday. Roethlisberger, one of the most expensive quarterbacks, even though he doesn't have a wide receiver that's viable. Juju Smith-Schuster is probably the guy that picks up the work, and he's probably the super bargain play. He might be the best play on the slate, for, price per dollar value. And then Hopkins, you always got to play Hopkins every single week. But it's just Houston makes quarterbacks good. This is what I said with Bortles last week, and then Bortles went nuts. I think these pass catchers will have a big game. I assume it's got to be Schuster, maybe Martavis. I don't know. It's going to be one of those guys. What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, I like Juju the most as a receiver from this game, but it's just an obvious everyone load up on Bell spot, especially with AB out. He's going to get more work. He's going to get more targets, more carries. However, I think a little slight pivot where you could go is Jesse James at tight end. I think he'll get a few more targets with AB being out, and he's only 3,400 against Houston. So I think he's got a decent floor and ceiling at that price. So him and Juju would probably be my favorite two catching the ball from Pittsburgh's side. And then, like you said, just play Hopkins every week. I love him in the spot. If you can fit him and Bell into a lineup and put cheap guys like Jesse James around him, I think you'll be sitting pretty.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be obviously locked into Le'Veon Bell. I think he's the best play on the slate, period. The guy I'm looking at as the punt is maybe Lamar Miller, just because obviously he's had some rough games, some tough game scripts the last few weeks, but he remains in a situation where there's no competition for touches, and he's at home. But again, this one doesn't set up like it's going to be so great when his team is massive underdogs. So, I don't think he's going to have this great game, but I think you have to keep in mind maybe as a value play in that game.
Yeah, I like that.
I got an over-under for you. Over-under touches on Le'Veon Bell at 32.
I'd actually say under just because of game script. I don't think Houston's going to hang in there with them, so they probably won't need to give him that many. However, if it is close, then it's for sure going to be over.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think 32 is pretty high. I actually kind of have him projected for 29 to 30 touches this week. I do think he'll touch it a lot. Connor is out, by the way. This is breaking news. So they don't really have like a backup that's going to come in and spell him. I think he'll play all the way through to the end. And, yeah, it would be nice if Houston had any chance of keeping it close, which I really don't think they're going to, but at least that they're at home, so maybe. But I just think that with no real alternatives at the running back position, and somebody's going to be doing a lot of scoring for this team, but I think they're going to throw to Bell. I think they're going to run it with him, and then maybe James Schuster. Those are the only two other reliable targets. I don't consider Martavis Bryant a reliable target at all. So, no. That offense is going to have to operate through someone, and I think it's just going to be through Le'Veon Bell at this point.
Le'Veon has hit it.
There's no Antonio
Le'Veon
Brown
has hit
here.
That over.
Yeah, but there's no Antonio Le'Veon Brown.
Has hit that,
yeah.
Le'Veon's hit that over of 32 touches four times this year.
Okay, yeah, makes sense.
So I throw it at 32, that's all.
Cool. What's the next one?
Next game, guys, fire away.
All right, we got the final. Okay, so Kyle, you want to talk about Oakland Philly, Kyle?
Alrighty, let's see here. We got, it's a shame that Carson Wentz is out with a torn ACL, but Nick Foles could actually play here, and Oakland can't stop anything. So I was off Nick Foles last week, and he put up 25 points. I don't want to say I missed the boat, and I won't be on him here. I just don't know exactly what I'm going to do with Foles yet. Because it's such a small slate, I feel like I'm going to have to play him. So he's probably going to be my favorite quarterback of these four teams. And then who's he going to throw to? I think everyone's going to go to Jeffrey. So I think Aguilar might be a sneaky play to stack him with.
Yep.
And then on the bring it back, you got to go with Crabtree. I haven't heard anything about Amari, but I'm guessing he's not going to play. So Crabtree should get a lot of targets, maybe another two touchdown game. And then Jared Cook at tight end, I think he's definitely playable. And Ertz on the other side is always playable.
I'm pretty well in agreement. I think if I'm looking at this as a two game exclusively, like a two game slate, then Foles is probably the quarterback I want the most exposure to, which is crazy. And I too missed the boat a little bit last week, but that's how it goes. I'm not going to let that affect
me. 0-2 reading box checkers. 0-2 reading box checkers.
Well, we should have checked some of those boxes, but. I just kind of missed the boat. I didn't think he would do badly. I don't know. I just didn't have any exposure to him.
I'm surprised at you, Kevin. You love to pay down.
I do, but there was so much value.
He was cheap last
year. Yeah, there was other value. But what I was going to say about that game is the Raiders make teams look good. So let's start there. The Raiders' defense is literally non-existent. So you just attack them and destroy them at will. If you look at what Philly did last week, yeah, they threw it to Aguilar quite a bit. He had nine targets, seven receptions. That's huge. He threw it to Alshon in the red zone, 10 targets. Alshon, as usual, less efficient. But, you know, only four receptions. Crabtree, only game in town for the Raiders. They don't have any other wide receivers that are healthy. So, I mean, he looks good. And then Zach Ertz didn't really do a whole lot, I think, last week. He did a little something. Actually, you know, he got his nine targets, too. So, I mean, everybody got in the game. I don't really – I'm not a Jay Ajayi guy. I haven't really played him. But it's going to be difficult picking running backs, outside of Le'Veon Bell. Like, I almost think with this two-game slate, if you're looking at a two-game, you have to lock in Le'Veon Bell and then figure out, all right, what am I going to do with this second one? And if I'm talking DraftKings, I'm probably not using one in the flex either. Because, I mean, Lynch, Philly's not a defense you want to attack with a guy like Lynch at all. At all. So
yeah, this might be where you want to go two tight ends so you could fit in Hopkins and Le'Veon on a short slate.
I mean, I wish there were two viable tight ends. I mean, I guess Cook. And you're saying like a Cook and Ertz.
Yeah, Cook, that's not and, letting Cook you, and Jesse James.
Or James, yeah. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. Something to do to get those studs in there, but I mean, it's going to be tricky. I think you almost go, like, I could see a roster construction where you have, it's funny, I thought Foles would be the cheapest guy, but he's not that cheap. But he's, but you have Foles, you put like...
They jacked his salary up pretty good.
Let's see, if I put Bell in there, and then I guess you can do like at wide receiver, you're talking Juju Schuster, DeAndre Hopkins, and then you got to go Aguilar, I think. And I'm just kind of trying to slap one together and see how it looks. You know, put, let's say, the Eagles defense in there at the D. And this is on FanDuel, but, you know.
If you're getting funky on a two-game slate, throw Seth Roberts in there.
I guess. Oh, I don't want to. No,
it makes you cute, but it's a two-game slate.
I mean, I can't.
Yeah, you got to get funky somewhere.
I mean, I think I'm putting Lamar Miller in there, and then I can afford Zach Ertz. No, Jared Cook. Yeah, it's tough. It's not an easy thing. I mean, the good thing here is outside of DeAndre Hopkins and Bell, those are the two studs. And then you could just pretty much, like, again, Schuster, Aguilar, Foles, you could build a lineup around that that's pretty good. So I think this two-game slate will be interesting because I think it's just going to be so chalky in certain ways. Like, so the plays are so obvious that it's going to be interesting to try to get away from being super obvious about it. We'll see how that goes. There will be a podcast for that.
Attaboy. Hey, let me do this really quick before we wrap everything up, put it to bed, and go to bed ourselves. Since Kyle is the new guy, I've heard you mention a lot today about when you're talking about games, you know, this guy, and then run it back with this. And a lot of us, you know that technique, but I hear you mention it a little bit more with these games that you've been kind of given opinions on. Is that something you typically do when you're building GPP lineups? Are you kind of picking a game, picking the stack, running it back, and then going with secondary guys around that? Or do you form a player pool more traditionally like other people and kind of piece it together? How do you – what's your process like from building, say, 10 to 20 GPP lineups?
So, yeah, I definitely will – I'll figure out my player pool, and I'll narrow all my teams down to a decently small-sized player pool. However, I might get only one – player in a because I stacked them with someone or because I brought it back with someone. I do like to do that a lot. I'll start every lineup with my stack and then I'll bring it back if I can because I'm looking for a shootout. My stack's not going to go completely off without somebody on the other team doing something. So I always like to bring it back if I can. It's not always there. Maybe pricing's too heavy on the other side, but I'd say 80% of the time I'm trying to do a stack and to bring it back, and then I'm plugging my player pool in around those stacks.
It's kind of what I picked up on as you were breaking those games down, so I wanted to ask that question. Actually, being that some of our members have listened to me and Kevin and some of the other guys for, you know, a couple of years now, it's nice to get a fresh perspective because we've talked about wide receiver and quarterback stacks and whatnot. You know, Kevin talks about that a lot, but just that added bring it back factor we've talked about, but just not in almost every game that we're talking about. So that was kind of interesting. Thanks for plugging in this week, bud.
Hey, no problem.
Awesome. Kevin, you want to send us? Yeah, I mean, I'll just mention one last thing. Kyle will be back this week with a little slate breakdown too. So, you know, we're going to get a little ping pong action, myself, Chop, and Kyle all kind of ping-ponging back a little bit about different takes on this slate. So hopefully that'll be a little more robust offering exclusively for our DFS Army VIPs. And, yeah, week 16, guys, a couple weeks left. Just, you know, playoffs. I love the playoffs. But, I mean, next week is a little bit sketchier with all of the who has what to play for questions, and we'll focus on that next week. But, you know, we only got a couple weeks left of football. Let's get it. I'm excited, as always, for another week of, you know, hopefully kicking ass and taking names for our crew. And, you know, a big, big, slow nothing is coming up in about a month or so. So enjoy these last few weeks, and let's get out there and crush it. Take care, guys.
Absolutely. And Merry Christmas, guys.
Yeah, and thanks, Kyle. Thanks, Chop.
Yeah, let's do it. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army Weighted Projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.